this week's sermon from C3 Church Narara. We hope you enjoy this message. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.
Everyone's staying warm. Winter solstice yesterday. There you go. Every day from now on is going to get a little bit longer with the sun. I certainly am reminded in this time of year how much I just appreciate like heating and not being wet. While I was in the army, there was basically the constant feeling of, is it going to rain? In fact, people were so superstitious about it, you weren't allowed to say rain outfield. You would say the R word. And if someone said rain, they would get rocks thrown at them, sticks or whatever. You weren't allowed to say it. Because if it rained, it was just the most miserable, miserable experience that it's possible to imagine. And so everything out there is about trade-offs, essentially. You might want to take a bunch of snacks and lollies and things like that, which some people did, but that means you're carrying it on your back, and so your shoulders are going to be hurting. You're going to sweat more and you're going to be miserable. Or some people would get the ration packs and they'd cut them and then like take certain things out they're not going to eat. Like, I'm not going to eat the oats, that's gross. I'm not going to eat that, that's gross. And they'd cut it all down so their rations are smaller, save the weight on your shoulders, but then you'd go hungry. And so it was just constant trade-off of prioritization. What are you going to prioritize? And one of the key ones, I always had this struggle, was every night, you don't have your smartphones, you don't know if it's going to rain or not. Do you put up your little tarpaulin or not? We call it a hoochie. Do you pull up your hoochie at night? And you might think, well, why wouldn't you? The constant, nagging, just ever-present desire when you're out in the field is to go to sleep. Because when you're running on 4 hours sleep for a month, all you think about when the sun goes down is, I just want to go to sleep. Please, please, just let me go to sleep. When is this mission going to end? When is it going to calm down? And so when you finally get like, okay, let's go to sleep, are you going to spend 15 minutes putting up your hoochie, or are you just going to crash? Okay? And that's the trade-off, because if you don't put up your hoochie and then it starts to rain, then you're just miserable again. And I can remember going through this experience, and just every single night, and generally I would, but one night I was just like, nah, it's just, I'm too tired, couldn't be bothered, just went to sleep. And then I remember at just 2 a.m. I just felt these like flicker patter, and I just had the worst feeling of in my gut about what was going to happen. It's kind of, parents, it's the feeling of you hear the baby stir in the other room, and you wake up and you're like, please, no, no, please, 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 please. It is exactly that feeling. It's exactly that. We all know that feeling, except this is not worrying about the baby. It is worrying about, is it going to rain or not? And I just remember thinking, no, I can't, no. And I got up out of bed, freezing. I was out in the bush near Singleton in Hunter Valley, and I'm struggling around at night, getting this stupid hoochie up, tying it around trees. Got in, and I just remember thinking, oh, if it really rains and we're on a hill, you actually have to kind of dig a little trench in the ground so that the water doesn't come through. And I just went, no, I'm not doing that. I'm not digging. It's like 3 a.m. And it started to rain. And I was just like, okay, fine. I'm under the hoochie. And they're quite small. And one other guy's like, just rolled into under my hoochie, and I was just like, fair enough, like, fair enough. And then another guy, I remember, he looked across, he just saw that it was taken, and he just went, he was this PNG commando guy, and he just went, oh, bring it on. And he kind of just curled into a ball, and it was just like this wet, sopping mess, just getting rained on, just miserable. And so it's just a matter of what you wanted to prioritize, essentially. The Bible is full of stories about people prioritizing things incorrectly or correctly, and the incorrect is not God. Spoiler. So as we continue our series on holy households, I want to look at one of these examples in the Old Testament. And so we're going to go to the book of Haggai. And so Haggai, the book of Haggai is named after the prophet. He brought a message to the people of Judah, and this is after they had been allowed They were captured by the Babylonians. The Babylonians were then conquered by the Persians. And the Persians said, you know what, you guys can go back to Jerusalem. That's fine. Go for it. And so they had been allowed to go back. And they were then allowed to start to rebuild Jerusalem. So what do you build? And so there's stories about them building the wall. And then there's stories about them, right, what to do next. And so Haggai has come along and he's delivering a message during this time. Because they'd been initially very hopeful about what is going on. They're returning to the promised land. This is great. And you can read about that in the book of Ezra. But now some years have passed and Haggai comes to bring a word of God about where they're at and the perspective of where they're prioritizing. And so I want to talk 4 points today about what the problem was, what the solution that they gave was, and then the cost if they didn't, and also the outcome if they did follow that direction. So the problem is the first chapter, first chunk here. It says, during August 2nd year of King Darius's reign. So King Darius, if you take your history sort of points as pop culture, which is sometimes I do, like where's this in like movies and stuff? King Darius is the dad of Xerxes of the 300 Spartans. There you go. You got that? All right. Yeah, good pop culture. There we go. So real person and weird movie. So he says, during King Darius's reign, the Lord gave a message through the people of Haggai. This is what the Lord of Heaven's armies says. The people are saying the time has not yet come to rebuild the house of the Lord. So that's what the people are saying. That's basically their excuses. Then the Lord sent this message through the prophet Haggai. Why are you living in luxurious houses while my house lies in ruins? And in this instance, literal ruins. This is what the Lord of Heaven's army says. Look at what's happening to you. You have planted much but harvest little. You eat but you're not satisfied. You drink but are still thirsty. You put clothes on but you cannot keep warm. Your wages disappear as if you were putting them in pockets filled with holes. So, let's unpack this a bit. There's a lot to get into here. But basically, the people of the Jewish people had stopped and didn't bother building the temple. But they'd prioritized building their own homes. I think the question, why are you living in luxurious homes while my house lies in ruins? That's definitely a rhetorical question. God did not want the Jewish people to actually answer that and justify that. He knows exactly what he's asking there through the prophet. And it's interesting because there is always an excuse to do something else. Every time that you've gone to pray, I guarantee there's always an excuse. Well, I could do this instead. Oh, this is coming up. And it's almost like if I stop to pray, then there's just like this barrage in my mind of like, yeah, but what about this and this and this and this and this? You've got to go do this, you've got to do that. And always an excuse not to prioritize God. And also an excuse not to just do anything of any difficult nature. And so the Jews are saying here, oh, the time hasn't come. They're just procrastinating, essentially. They're putting it off. They were the original procrastinators. And so they're just thinking, yeah, look, we'll do that eventually. Like, we'll get to it. We just built our homes. We're comfortable. So God is unimpressed, clearly, by the fairly pointed question, why you're prioritizing your homes. He's asking, really, are you serving yourself or are you serving me? What are you prioritizing? What's more important to you? Because if you're prioritizing yourself, you're not prioritizing God, and he gets into this, it seems like everything's not really coming together. It's almost like you're working, wages falling out through your pockets, you're putting in seeds and nothing's growing. Nothing seems to work out when you're only prioritizing yourself. So he's saying, give careful thought. Have a think about it. He's saying, hey, stop and think for a second. Why isn't everything going well for you? Yeah? He says, you put on clothes but you can't keep warm. Your wages disappear. You drink but you're still thirsty. You eat but you're not satisfied. It seems like you're working hard, but there's something missing. You're prioritizing yourself and nothing seems to come together in the way that would logically or rationally make sense. Yeah? He says, you are living outside of my blessing. You're working hard without any result. there's holes in your pocket syndrome, you know? You're working hard and hard. I caught up with a mate just yesterday and he was running his own business and doing his own thing and he just thought, I'm working twice as hard for like 10% more cash and it's not worth it. He's not a Christian. He just thought, hang on a second, if I just do the same job but work for someone else and just get a salary and wage, I have twice as much time. And that's exactly what it is here. If you're not prioritizing God, you can just spin the wheels constantly and the return is not really coming through. Because ultimately we know chasing that materialism, it's a completely fruitless lifestyle. Sometimes you need to learn to do things firstly by doing it through God and prioritizing God. And it might seem unintuitive and you actually get more from it. We used to get in the army sometimes. If we had a complicated job, I did this a couple of times, you would ask the laziest guy to do it first. And he might take longer, but he would definitely figure out the shortest way to do it. And we're like, cool, now let's get actual hard workers to copy what he did. So God is saying, you haven't prioritized my house, you're prioritizing yourselves, and nothing's coming together. Great. So what is the solution here? If we look at verse 7 and 8, this is what the Lord says. Look at what's happening to you. Now, go up into the hills, bring down timber, and rebuild my house. Then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. And this is really the core of the message of this entire chapter, and we'll get into sort of the post-analysis of what happens here, but what do you do about it? Well, it's very simple. You need to prioritize God. You need to put His plan for you first. It's not about what I think I should do. It's what is God's plan for you? What has God planned out for you? What should God guide you towards spending your time and your resources on? If we look at what He says here, look at what's happening. Go get the timber, rebuild my house, then I will take pleasure in it. So first off, it's saying, look around. Assess where you're at. Look at what's happening. Take a breath. Stop just working and trying to figure out what's going on. Are you actually prioritizing God? What are you doing? And then He says, go up into the hills, bring the timber. So whatever is necessary, whatever plan that God has for you, He will provide. It's not something absolutely out of the ordinary, like go invade another country and conquer this thing to figure this out. Go and get the timber. Go plan, get your resources together. God will provide it. And then work. It says, rebuild my house. Rebuild my house. And they're talking about here the second temple. So the first temple was the Temple of Solomon, which the Babylonians smashed. And it's just in ruins now. So rebuild my house. Actually build my house. And then it says, then I will take pleasure in it and be honored, says the Lord. It doesn't actually say, interestingly, and then you will be happy and you will be blessed. It says first, God will take pleasure in it and be honored, because that actually comes before our own happiness. And not in a bad way, because the consequence of God being happy is that we will be blessed. Yeah? It doesn't say that you will be happy because you built a house. It's like, no. You will be happy because you honored me first. Yeah? It's not even something that's, it is a biblical concept, but it is thoroughly studied in psychology, is that chasing happiness in itself is completely fruitless. There are dozens and dozens of studies around the idea that people who prioritize their own happiness, who do whatever makes you happy, ultimately are miserable. Consistently. It's completely established now. And so, well, what does make you happy? Well, generally, it is responsibility and purpose. And there is no higher purpose, and there's no greater responsibility than honoring God. The pure, best happiness you will ever experience is by putting God first. Yeah? And so out in the world, people start to figure out, oh, you got to put other people first and work for charities and work hard for something that means something. That's close. Not quite there, though. Yeah? Putting God first will make you happy. Putting God first will make you sure that you are living in His blessing. And so this is what it means by, we talk about holy households. A holy household isn't built by just our human effort. It's not just built by what I can do, what I can buy, what I can figure out, what I can discipline, what I can communicate. It requires God's blessing. And so to do that, we need to be in the presence of God. We need to make sure that what we do honors God, that we're living in Him. His blessing will come through Him if we are honoring God and living according to His plan, walking in His righteousness and receiving His grace. If we want to live in His grace, we want to be blessed, and we want to have a holy household, we have to love, obey, and ultimately just serve God. God has a plan for all of us. Doesn't mean that we're all going to do exactly the same thing, but we all have a plan to serve God first. And ignoring that is going to end in being miserable. You know, you're going to put on your clothes and you're still going to feel cold. You're going to work hard and the wages are just going to slip away. Yeah? The way that we deal with our time and our money reflects our commitment to God. It's one thing just to pay lip service to God. I come to church, I call myself a Christian, and that's certainly part of it. But then if you just spend all your time and money and effort on everything else, ultimately, God isn't going to see through that. Yeah? Being a Christian, if I go outside and put a Ferrari label on my Holden Commodore, I paint it red, is it a Ferrari? No, of course not. If you can call yourself a Christian and that's it, is the content of your character really Christian? Have you really received Jesus and living in His grace? Yeah? No, of course the Holden is not a Ferrari. It's the internal that is just as important. It's all of that. So it's living and declaring, I am a sinner, I need to live in Jesus, and allowing Jesus to transform us, and therefore prioritizing God in order to be blessed. Just calling yourself a Christian, putting a badge on it, and that's it, never thinking about it again, not prioritizing God, is empty. It's empty. So, what if I don't go through with this? So the prophet has given this message. He said, this is what you have to do. What if I do just spend all my time doing other things? So he goes into this in verse 9. You hoped for rich harvests, but they were poor. And when you brought your harvest home, I blew it away. Why? Because my house lies in ruins, says the Lord of heaven's armies. While you are all busy building with your own fine houses, it's because of you that the heavens withhold the dew and the earth produces no crops. I have called for a drought on your fields and hills, a drought to wither the grain and grapes and olive trees and all of your other crops, a drought to starve you and your livestock, to ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. It's pretty Old Testament. Yeah? Yeah? It's a bit of fire and brimstone there. It's right at the end of the Old Testament, so it's not pure fire and brimstone. We're just about to get into the New Testament, so it's a little bit more leeway. It's not literal fire from the heavens, but you're going to get drought. Okay, if you don't build my house and honor me, nothing is going to go well for you. Yeah, it is not going to work out for you. What if you do just spend all your time and money and holidays and stuff? And I tell you what, like if you're on social media, that algorithm is just relentless trying to get you to spend money. I always think like, okay, I don't really need anything else. Like I'm, you know, don't need new shoes. I don't need another surfboard. And then the algorithm's like, are you sure? Because check this sale out on a surfboard. And I'm like, ooh, wouldn't that be great? Byron's laughing. Yeah. How many bodyboards have you got? How many? I'm like, ooh, if I get rid of that one, and that's like a 7-footer, and that one's this shape. And I'm like, you don't need to spend all your time and money on that. If the algorithm was pushing you on like, what about church? What about this? Wouldn't that be great? I wish you'd tell Facebook or whatever to figure that out. But the world is just full of stuff and things to distract you from God. Because that's what they're trying to fill their lives with. Yeah? People are trying to fill their lives with stuff. They're trying to fill their lives with hobbies and cool things and cool activities that are fun for a little bit and then they grow meaningless. Yeah? Your favorite movie that you've ever seen, you wouldn't be able to just sit and watch it as the only movie for the rest of your life. Your favorite food, you couldn't just do it the same thing. You're always going to be looking for some variety, yeah, something else. And so materialism ultimately, all the other things, if you're not prioritizing God, yeah, you're going to get bored of it, no matter how good it is. There is always an excuse not to give or to commit something to God. There's always there. And God is being pretty explicit. He's being pretty obvious in this. If you don't do it, there will be no blessing. None. I will ruin everything you have worked so hard to get. Yeah? I don't know how much more explicit you can be with that. If you don't honor God first, nothing's going to work out for you. Being a Christian is about your relationship with God. Making sure you honor him with your time and your money will mean a fruitful, holy household. So, as we get into the last couple of scriptures, so verses 12 to 15, which you can read here, but basically, it's unique in the Old Testament in this sense, especially prophetic, because if you recognize the pattern in the Old Testament, generally, there is a prophet who comes, says something's bad going to happen if you don't sort it out. The bad thing happens, and then the kingdom of Judah and all the people go, oh, okay, we will go back and follow God. In this one, they actually do listen. In this one, they go, yeah, we don't want all that to happen. We don't want the drought. We don't want all of that to happen. So let's get into it. When they heard the words of the prophet, the people feared the Lord, and it says they began to work on the household. The Lord sparked their enthusiasm. Sparked their enthusiasm. So that's great. They actually listened. They obeyed, and they did so with enthusiasm. Again, it's about your character just as much as it is with your actions. You can do it resentfully and bitter about it. I remember, my father, when, you're doing chores, he would literally make me say out loud, work is good. Now say it, Hudson. Work is good. Work is good. And it was like, yeah, don't be resentful sweeping up and walking the dog, whatever the chore I had to do. It's like, no, you will learn to do it with enthusiasm. And so they did build it. They built the temple. This is the second temple, which the Romans, 400 years later, came along and smashed again. And this is the temple they built, where if you go to Jerusalem, there is still one wall that's there. So they built that. They honored God. So the physical act of rebuilding the temple, people began to shift their spiritual lives. And that'll be exactly what it is in our lives. The physical act of spending your time, your money, and your commitment to the church will lead a life from self-focus, self-devotion, to devoting your time on God, honoring God, which will ultimately lead to his blessing being poured into you and your family and your household. And this is really the foundation of your really success in life. You can spend all your time working and doing all these other things, but really the foundation of a good life is his blessing. Yeah? Having his blessing means, your character, your skills, your jobs, your family, and your household, and all the things that you need are provided and built upon the foundation of honoring God, living in his blessing and his grace first. And this really is why tithes, why volunteering, why offerings are really important. It's not just, obviously, God needing a physical building. He didn't need another temple. He doesn't live in it, doesn't sleep in it. It's about our hearts. It's about prioritizing ourselves and aligning with him. It's about putting him first so that we recognize it's not about me. It's not always about me and my house and what the thing I want. It is about God first and actually committing that, not just in the mind, but actually through action. Jesus says, obviously much later than the prophet of Haggai, he says in the book of Matthew, store up for yourselves treasures in heaven. Treasures in heaven where moths and rats will not destroy, and thieves cannot break in and steal, for where your treasure is, your heart will be also. Yeah? And that's exactly lining up with what the prophet Haggai is talking about here. Your treasure in heaven is everything that you invest into God now. Yeah? It's like the tax return that comes around every year. Yeah? That is actually your money, guys. It's like, oh, great. No, this is you investing in your time in heaven. It's not a physical thing that can be destroyed, rats and stolen. No, this is in heaven. This is God's blessing waiting for you. When I got out of the army, full-time army, I still do it part-time, which is great because when they say, do you want to go to Papua New Guinea or something, I can say no. And previously it was like, no, you are going to Papua New Guinea for 6 months. Now I can say, I'll go for a week. So I got out of the full-time army at the end of 2019 and I got this cool government job and I was working around that and it was a very exciting, cool role and Lara got pregnant, which was exciting. And then early 2020, something happened and so COVID happened and my cool government job was like, yeah, we don't need all these people overseas. It's all locked down. Everything's locked down. It's all just stand down mode. So just the worst timing possible. And so I basically just didn't really have a job. I was just kind of floating. The army called me up and were like, do you want to come back? And I was like, not really. A bit tired of that, making sure I need to put up a hutcha not every night. So I was just floating around and like doing contract work. But I remember Lara and I spoke and we just thought, technically not really earning an income, so 10% of nothing is just zero. some complicated maths there. Yeah, I know. But I thought, let's just keep tithing. Like, we'll just keep tithing in faith. We'll just keep God putting God first. We weren't under any particular financial strain. It wasn't like, oh, man, we have 2 weeks and that's it. We were doing okay because the army had basically assessed how much of my body they broke and said, okay, well, here's some cash so you don't sue us for that. I was like, all right, well, that's nice. I can't run anymore, but sweet. So that was fine. But we just keep putting God first. Couldn't exactly spend much time at church because it was all locked down. But we just kept tithing. And things just fell into place. I got a call, I was doing all kinds of random contracting jobs and stuff, and I got a call for this awesome job, which I still do now, and we bought an actual house on the coast here. We decided to move to Sydney, and then we're like, don't like this, so we moved back to the coast, bought a house, because we kept giving. So it really does work. Why don't we get the band up? As you prioritize God and you put him first, his blessing does flow in all kinds of intangible ways that you didn't plan for. I got the job offer out of the blue. Like, I just got a call from a guy who heard about this and I had interviewed for this person and they knew about this and was like, I've got this job that I think you'd be really good at, and it was awesome. And then buying a house, an actual, you know, prioritizing God first actually led me to get that house. So as we consider, we want to build holy households. Are you fussing around with your own resources, your own time and your own effort? Or are we actually putting God first? The application of the prophet of Haggai and what he was saying to the Jews back then is really clear for us today. Are you prioritizing on building your own career, your own life, your own financial thing? No. We are called to follow God's ways first. We are called to be committed to his work, his house, because without it, there's no true success. We're just spinning our wheels. But with God's power and God's blessing, his grace, we will be blessed. Amen. Let's pray. God, we thank you. We thank you for your blessing. We thank you for your grace and sending your son to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have given us everything we need. We thank you, Lord, and we are grateful for the opportunity to serve you. As we come before you on Sunday, we honor you with our time, our effort, our money, because we love you, Lord. We put you number one. We honor you. We thank you for that opportunity to connect with you directly. and we love you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you've enjoyed this week's sermon. For more information or to contact us, visit c3church.narara.net.